Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The back in action edition. I thought we were done with Jair Alexander, but at least for one more day we're not. And then in week 17, I'm guessing he may, if he's healthy and still playing, be a topic of discussion again, and maybe before that edition. Also, I cannot remember the last time something became as big of a conversation that I did not see coming as our responsibility is to keep the Packers in Green Bay topic edition. And of course, the Feel Good Friday edition. I've got one that I've been looking forward to getting to, even though it entails a little bit of disappointing news about a coach that a lot of people love around here in the Green Bay Ashwaubenon area edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, so you can put Wilde and Tausch in the number one position on it. It is the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can get both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in parts unknown today. His cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better, is young Riley Yauch. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning, Jason.
And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. Riley, did you drive back down to Chicago and watch the game yesterday that the Brew Crew held on for dear life in, or did you not do that?
Oh, unfortunately, I didn't. I wish I did, though. I don't know if I've been more stressed out during a regular season game, though, ever. I was watching with my friend who is a Cubs fan right next to me, and I was tense.
You're
that
chirping?
Final inning.
Were you chirping?
Yeah, a little bit.
You chirping?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's an instigator. Do either of you swear as much as Pat Murphy did after the win? He was clearly perturbed with the umpiring, very celebratory, but also very profane if you were a lip reader. Riley, you strike me as a sailor, swear like a sailor guy. Is that an accurate depiction of your potty mouth?
It depends on the situation. Like if I'm chirping at Wrigley, may throw in a few choice words with my friends. Yes, definitely.
Really?
On air, not nearly as much. And when I'm with family, not really. It's all situational, but I can bust it out.
So
a situational cusser.
Yes.
Yeah.
SC, if you will.
Wow. Tausch, what about you?
I try not to swear that much. There's times I will, but I think it's pretty limited. on my end. Part of it is I've had to be conditioned from a radio standpoint to not cuss, and I don't like cussing in front of kids. I think not to bring back Bill Cosby, but I always appreciated the fact that Bill Cosby, when he gave his comedic stuff, didn't swear. Doesn't mean
turned out he
what
had
Dave
other
Chappelle does
less than great quality.
Yeah, no, listen, that's why I specified that as part of it. But yeah, to put a bow on it, no, I mean I swear, but I try to limit it as much as I can.
When you were playing, you were much more cussy.
Not really. No, I told you 100 times. I was always on the end of not chirping. It didn't help me. I wasn't good at it. We have some youngsters on our baseball team now that they're getting into this 14, 15-year-old age range. There's more chirping. And there is psychological – it is a psychological battle. And what I tell them is, all right, we're not going to do anything personal, nothing personal chirp-wise, and be ready to have stuff come back at you if you're going to chirp. Because, you know, especially when you're a chirp city and then – somebody pulls ahead of you and chirps you, you better be ready to take that bruise, because they're coming and you're going to get bruised a lot if you're going to be a chirper. Be ready for it. I think these kids got to figure out if they're going to be in the chirp life, because it ain't for everybody. Chirp life ain't for everybody. I can assure you of that.
The chirp life with Zach and Cody. Oh, no, that's the sweet life. Is that right? Aren't they on, like, a ship or something? Riley, that was in your childhood wheelhouse, right?
Yep. So the sweet life of Zach and Cody takes place in a hotel. And then there's the sweet life on deck, which is a follow-up series. That takes place on a boat.
Is that below deck or above deck?
I believe above deck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Below Deck, which is obviously a very popular program for Tausch as well. So, Riley, are you going to take Tausch's advice about chirping? Because as for those who missed it earlier in the week, Riley went to Brewers Cubs in Chicago, as Tausch likes to say, at Wrigley. Then had to come back and get up bright and early for jujitsu. And then to fill in for
Jesse. Why was it not a doubleheader yesterday?
It's a great question.
Game got rained out Wednesday. All right, I was in Rockford. It was raining. Totally get it. You don't have a roof. At some point, if the Cubs keep working hard enough, they'll be able to get a roof like the Brewers. Play a doubleheader. Beautiful day for baseball yesterday. Play two. What are we doing?
Yeah, Ernie Banks.
Didn't make any sense. The Cubs are clearly scared of Jacob Mizorowski. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
I tend to agree with you.
What's the other reason?
Excuse?
Yeah, why are you moving the game
players,
to August?
I guarantee if you ask the Cubs players, they'd say, yeah, let's just play two. We want to let's knock this out and go. We're here. They're here. Let's just go. Well, it would have been easy.
Yeah, you
now they
got to
probably take some random Monday that they had both teams had scheduled off and go and drive around and go play. It's a huge pain in the butt, in the keister, if you will.
Could have sworn there, but you chose not to because you don't swear. Who decides when they make up the game? You guys, I don't want to be that guy, but do you know that it's the home team that dictates that, or is it MLB?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I'll quick look it up. If I had to guess, it's probably Major League Baseball, but I'll quick take a look at that.
Okay. But they're afraid of the Miz. Nobody beats the Miz, and everyone's afraid of the Miz.
Truly.
Well, let me tell you this. If it wasn't Mizorowski and it was just a bullpen day, I would bet that the Cubs and Brewers would have played a doubleheader yesterday. That's my belief. Whether or not that's accurate, I don't know. But seems like that would be the case. And as I saw Murph, the clips of Murph screaming and complaining and I think very accurately. It's time.
It's time to start having a conversation about whether his job security should be questioned.
You want Pat Murphy fired?
No.
I want to make sure I don't.
That's a reference to what happened previously.
It is time for robo-umps. It's time. We've had it.
So there were I did not watch the game the way Riley did with his Cubs buddy. There were, from what I saw on social media, there were three instances of a called third strike that was not called a third strike. Is that an accurate depiction of what happened, Riley?
Yes, I would say so.
And that is why he was mad.
Yeah.
Big mad.
Yes.
Mad.
Bottom of the ninth, Ian Happ should have struck out two different times, but ultimately, Seiya Suzuki also should have struck out, got the double play. So can't complain too much about the result.
Ball don't lie.
Exactly.
Hey, Riley.
Exactly.
Ball don't lie.
Come on.
Don't.
Why are you holding your microphone so close to your mouth?
Because I wanted to emphasize ball don't lie. That's why.
Okay.
Truly.
Clarifying. Well, and then you followed up. This is great. It's like finding out what do young people do today. Did you play some video games in addition to your jiu-jitsu and watching Brewers Cubs followed by the Game 6 of the NBA Finals? Or what else did you do there with your old school Badgers baseball hat?
Yeah, it's a pretty sick hat. Let's see. After the game, I just kind of hung out, went on a little walk.
Then, you went for a walk?
Yeah. Got
what, are you, 73?
Just wanted to get some steps in, you know? Went on a walk, ended up coming back to the house and turning on. I was working on the show sheet, then turned on Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and the game sucked. That was my night. It was pretty relaxed. Most of my roommates were gone, so I was just chilling at home.
Nice.
Just chilling at home.
Yeah, nothing crazy. Nothing crazy.
Didn't write any love letters with a quill pen?
No, no.
There's no current recipients that might be receiving something like that?
No, not at the moment. Maybe in the near future. We'll see. Been going on some dates.
Got a little something set up?
Yeah, there.
Sounds like a tease.
There's a tease. Apps, or what do we got?
There's a tease. You know, I may have a date later tonight, but, you know.
Whoa!
No.
All right, so Riley, tell
no
us.
Promises, though.
Tell us, old married guys.
Uh huh.
How? So, are you on like Hinge? Is that what you do now? You Hinge, and then you figure out what you're gonna like. Give us a little update of how this all transpired.
Okay, so you still got. Contrary to popular belief, I feel there's still a lot of people who are flirting at the bars, obviously, and picking up dates that way.
Sure.
That still happens quite a bit, but Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, all very popular. I'm only on Hinge. It's fine. I really don't like online dating. Ultimately, it all boils down to looks. And for as much as people say they care about personality, like both ways, I don't think that really happens. Online dating just sucks. I much prefer meeting someone in person, either like from church, from a club, from even at the bar, I don't care, a restaurant, like I'd rather go up and talk to someone, build a relationship at least on a conversation, and then ask for a number. Online dating is just whack. Nothing ever comes from that.
So wait, if I could rewind for a second. Church, you're listening to the same sermon or homily.
Yep.
And then as you try to plan your exit after the service to where the cute gal across the aisle from you is also going, and you can say, hey, how about that sermon? Like, what is your line of church that gets something going?
Typically.
Just curious.
Typically, you
I love Mark 3:17. It's my favorite Bible passage. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a big John 6 guy. No, typically, I go with my friends, and then after Mass, we'll talk as friends, and then, you know, get girls included in the conversation, and then you can kind of separate and go from there.
Wow.
I would bet that you have more success doing that because you're probably, you know, you guys have a lot. If you're doing it at church, I would bet that that community is probably a lot easier than if you're out at some disco.
Exactly.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know how many people go to discos anymore, but yeah, you already. Your
it's
beliefs mostly line up and have good conversation. Yeah. Go from there.
Wait, so have you met a girl at church previously?
Yes.
You're not with her currently?
No.
Okay. Well, great.
Yeah, yeah. Happy to keep you guys posted on how the youngins are meeting people nowadays.
Where are you going tonight? Where are you taking your date tonight?
Let's see.
Church.
If it's nice, brats or
it'd be hot.
Some patio. Try and eat outside somewhere downtown.
Sure.
Yeah, and then you never know. May have to go to the karaoke bar afterwards. You guys big karaoke guys?
Show those pipes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Flex a little bit.
Not looking for a second date.
Well. We'll see what happens.
So, last question.
Yes.
Because I could tell that you're not entirely enjoying this, but you're playing along, being a good sport anyway.
Doing my best.
What are you wearing for your first date with this gal that you're not meeting from church?
Good question. Maybe this. I don't mind this outfit.
We like your fit.
Yeah, thank you. Big Badgers. May switch the hat out. Not sure. I typically go pretty casual on the first date, especially if we're just getting lunch or getting coffee. I don't dress up too much. Don't want to look like a slob, but presentable. I want to be me. This is what I wear typically. So
be you.
Exactly. I'm trying to be you. Yeah, genuine.
There you go.
Authentic. That's how I operate.
Yep.
Well, if you're looking for a way to start a conversation, tell her about the great deals that are going on right now.
She'll love that.
With Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. Time to upgrade your windows and or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune like Riley will tonight on his date. Well, Pella, the best in the industry, has a product line for every budget. Right now, get no interest and you have no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends June 30th. So set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Is June flying by? It's already the 20th?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like it's not?
I'm going to tell you this. May flew. June is flying. I got a hunch I'm going to look. It's going to be August 1. That's how I look at this. We got about a month of baseball left. We got a trip that we're doing. And then it's going to be full tilt Badger Packer football season. Oh, off we go. So enjoy it. Enjoy these times. Enjoy your night out at whatever Riley's doing today.
The Union.
Enjoy it because it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. Going to be gone.
Well, the first segment of our program for today is gone. But we've got plenty more still ahead, including Jair Alexander's pops saying some very interesting things to KBN on Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch. We'll hear from Jair Alexander's father, Landis, who appeared on KBN on Wednesday in case you missed it or you regularly listen to our show but sporadically listen to those guys. They did a great job with this interview, and I'm intrigued by what was said. Quick question for Tausch before we do that, though. We have established very clearly on this program, sometimes with spills occurring as a result, that you do not want to drink your coffee through a plastic cover.
Very
correct?
Fair point. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So the girls, for my little Father's Day basket, got me this lovely mug. It says number one dad on it. I don't think that's an official ranking, but I like to think that it's accurate.
Well, let me tell you something. Judging by your stories, you're not only number one, you're unanimous number one. Like, you know how the old days, the AP poll?
Yeah.
There's nobody in your sphere far as that goes.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Except I'm such a great dad. Sydney hit a three at the buzzer in her game, and I'm here with you instead. So, not such a great dad. Be that as it may. No, big, ta-da! Good sound
what
effect for her.
I guess
time.
I'm confused. I don't understand the correlation on those, but continue.
I missed. I didn't get to see it. This is kind of a big shot. You want to be there. If you're number one dad, you should have been there to see it, don't you think?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's probably fair.
Okay. Probably fair. Anyway, this has gone exactly as I'd planned.
It always does.
It comes with a cover, this mug.
What does your mug?
My coffee mug. It is hard, like, you know, industrial strength plastic, not the flimsy.
Let's see it. What does it look like?
Well, I'm not using it because I filled it too high with coffee, and had I put it on, it would have overflowed. But it's intended to keep the heat in the cup.
That's of the coffee, idea. And then you could flip it, and it's probably a coaster. Would be my guess, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just wanted I should have just gone right to Jair's dad. So in that instance, if you owned
Jair's
this
dad,
mug,
where's he ranked in your power rankings of dads? Top five? Where is he? Know, he's defending his kid.
He's ahead of Christian Watson's dad.
Okay.
Are you open to drinking out of a more industrial strength, high end plastic, as opposed to the disposable type, or is it no plastic across the board?
Yeah, no plastic across the board.
Okay. All right. Well, then good. I'm doing this in your honor, or because I overfilled my cup of coffee. All right.
Or because you wanted to flex a little bit about your ranking.
No, I definitely
did. A little bit.
No. I was more thinking about the Seinfeld. I really was hoping that you... See, you took... A little behind the scenes here. I always, when I bring something up, which is rare, I always have a vision in my head of where you might take it. I thought you would take it to the Seinfeld episode with the Mandelbaums, where they have the T-shirts, number one dad or super dad or whatever else. You didn't go there. That's on
so, me. No, Jason, the problem is initially what I would have done is a show that you claim you have not watched, which is The Office, where Michael Scott determined himself the number one boss and got himself a mug. That is more in line with what I think this scenario is than the Seinfeld. But you don't watch The Office.
I don't.
So I assumed you probably wouldn't have cared. So that's why I didn't go down that road.
You weren't accusing me of having purchased this mug for myself, though.
I think your kids believe you're the number one dad, and you do a great job. I want to make sure I'm crystal clear about that.
Uh-huh.
But do I think that you maybe saw something in a magazine or online and said, oh, is this cool, and kind of pounded into your kids' heads for them to buy this mug? I don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility,
No, yeah, that's not what happened. I do have one from my favorite coffee shop, Caribou Coffee, which does have ice cream, much like Burger King. And it says Papa Bear, and I like that one a lot better. All right.
It says what? Papa Bear?
Papa Bear, yeah, which I like.
Oh, that's
like
cute. That
one. Yeah.
It's cute.
Yep. And Paula's got one that says Mama Bear. It's a whole thing. All right, so.
And you got the cuddly little bears. Oh, that's a fun little.
And Goldilocks somewhere
like
in the mix.
Bears.
So Jair Alexander's father, who had been outspoken to a degree on social media, but not in the same way that not in the same way that Christian Watson's dad is.
I was going to say I had not heard a ton from him, and I wasn't paying attention. The Jair story. Thank you, Jair, because you gave a lot of fodder for 15 hours a week on radio, covering and talking about the G&G because it was interesting. And I do agree with you. I'm starting to feel like the Jair story, it's nowhere near the Aaron Rodgers when you bring that name up, but I'm sensing fatigue in our fan base on the Jair. It's like, all right, enough, we're done.
Uh-huh.
I did think, I agree with you, I thought the KBN team was fantastic in A, getting him, and then asking very pointed questions to him. Kudos to the KBN squad. I thought it was really good. I did.
Yeah, I liked a series of their questions too. Including a couple that I submitted. So, here's my question. And I want to play this for you. Did this, to some degree, reignite the light a little bit for fans that this is now worth talking about? Because I agree.
there was undeniable Ja fatigue. But once
Jaffa.
We
called it Jaffa, actually. That's how much fatigue there was.
I'm already fatigued by that. So the reason why I ask is then it comes out he gets 1 year, $4 million, incentives up to $6 million, which is still $10 million less than he was scheduled to be paid this year. And the KBN crew asked about whether or not he would have taken the exact same offer from the Packers, and his father did say he would have. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that was never offered. But here is what Jair's father, Landis, had to say during his appearance with KBN on Wednesday.
Was there ever any conversation that moved things forward with the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I mean, they sent over a proposal, and it was like a non-proposal. It's like somebody doing a non-apology or something like that, because basically it was structured with roster bonuses and things like that. And the way the structure of it was more of the problem than the money, because the money didn't really matter. We understand business. We understand that he's been injured. And we also understood that $17 million was we know why they would question that, being as he's had a few injuries in the last few years. So I got that part, but to not have any guarantees in there was where we had the issue with. So it wasn't actually the dollar amount. It was no guaranteed money, because it was kind of like if he plays every game that season, he probably could have stood to make $6 million. But he's not played every game in the season since he's been in the NFL. And that's not even, you know, maybe he missed a game or two or whatever. But if he did that this year, then it would have been less than that amount. So I think it was $4.3 million base or something like that. I posted that on Twitter as well. But I think their thought process was they had lost something or taken a loss because he hadn't played. And I get that part too. But, you know, it's kind of insulting to come to a two-time All-Pro, somebody who gave blood, sweat, and tears to you, and then to not have any guarantees. We knew the $17 million was going to be less than that. I only replied to people saying that he refused to take a pay cut, because that just was not the truth.
So there you go. Some really interesting stuff in there we can unpack. I want to start by unpacking one thing. The part at the end where he says that he refused to take a pay cut, that's not true. Clearly not, right? I mean, that I believe. The rest, if people want to have opinions on things, fine. But it sounds to me like they were realistic enough to know that he was not getting his $17 million number that he was scheduled to receive, $16 million base. My question is, would you have guaranteed any money to him like the Ravens did, given his track record, if you were Goody Tausch?
Really good pointed question, Jason.
That's thanks.
Very good pointed
thanks.
Question.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Here's the deal, and I'm going to pull a Wildy here. I'm not going to answer your question. I am going to state my beliefs and then let you run with it the way you want. Brian Gutekunst was done with Jair Alexander.
No. And maybe Matt LaFleur too.
We don't know. Matt LaFleur obviously, you know, does not make personnel decisions. But I think when you combine everything, and as Landis said a few times, he's been injured. He has not been able to. Everybody knew he was not getting $16 million. And that was where this whole trade concept never made any sense to me, because the only way you're going to do it is if you renegotiate the deal. And I think Jair is probably looking at it, trying to figure out what his value on the open market under these circumstances were. So as I was listening to this exchange with KBN, again, great job by the boys from 2 to 5 on our air. This was much more of a case of, is it better if you're Jair, the Packers just come to you and say, you know what, man, just didn't work. This hadn't worked. I don't want you insulted. I want you to make sure you know we appreciated what you did. Thank you for your service. Good luck. Good luck. Is that better? I mean, that to me is what I want to know. Because this, would I have offered him guaranteed money? No. if you're going to, you could put some stuff in. I thought, honestly, he would have an opportunity to earn more if he played at the level that he did. I think that's what he was going for, and maybe the Packers would have given him an opportunity to earn more if he played 17 games. But as Landis said there, he hadn't done that, and I don't think he ever did that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play all every week, especially as you get older. So you have to look at it and say, well, I got $4 million here from Baltimore. Green Bay ain't giving me anything. Mm-hmm. $4 million, now granted, even after taxes and everything else, it's going to be two-ish. That is much better than not having anything. And if I can't answer the bell, I don't want to go to back to Green Bay and not get anything. That's right. Just smart business by him.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have out of all this is, no, if I'm Green Bay, I think the right move, and we've started to see this more, you don't want to insult your guys. Is it more insulting for someone just to tell you, we're done with you, thank you, or here's some scraps, and I put scraps in quotation marks.
Sure.
Understanding the marketplace
NFL
and everything
else. NFL scraps, yeah.
NFL scraps, not, yes. Is it, what's which way is better? If Jason Wilde, the Wisconsin State Journal, comes to you and says, hey, man, we appreciate you, man. We love you. We can't pay you jack, but we love having you.
This sits a little close to home.
If you, yeah, this is a completely hypothetical. We would love to have you, but we can only pay you in season. We can't pay you from February to August. You're only going to do games. So you're going to end up with a lot less money, but, you know, will you? Or will they say, Jason, gosh darn it, man, you and Oatsy and Polzine, and what a crew. You guys were legends. The marketplace has shifted. We just can't pay you. Thank you so much for your service. Boom. Which way would you prefer that to happen? Because I think, while I know we don't usually compare football to
this
sports
writing.
This is a
great comparison. You're doing a great job.
What would you want to have happen to you?
Hello, WISC-TV3 and Channel3000.com. You would be the Ravens. And
yes.
And to further the comparisons between Jair and myself, Channel 3000 and Eric Franke and Colin Benedict and Brian Burns, they would be my Lamar Jackson. You saw how excited Lamar Jackson was. He was really excited to have his old teammate, his old college buddy, on the team.
Burnsy is Podesta. Who's the owner? Burns. That's Burnsy. Lamar Jackson. No, Franke is Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
You guys back at your old days of sucking down fish bowls and making me bounce you out of there, that's more the Lamar Jackson.
So Brian Burns would be Steve Biscotti. Biscotti, I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah,
is it
Biscotti.
Like the cracker?
I think it's like cookie the cracker,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not, if I would have sought another option, yes. Because.
No. And we know that, but I'm asking you.
I would have rather.
Your relationship.
No. I'm getting to it. I'm answering you. Great question.
Well, my bad. Okay.
My bad, B.
Spinning around. That's you got it.
I just wanted to add to the comparison, and I thought we ended up in a
like
good place
that.
With Burns and Franke and the whole crew. I think Colin Benedict would then fill the role of Harbaugh. But anyway, look, it was much better that they just said in January that, look, your contract says we have to give you 30 days notice. Here's your 30 days notice. Because that immediately allowed me to get working on finding a new home, which both financially and professionally was very important. So I don't know what would have happened had the Packers done that for Jair. Perhaps he would have found an even more lucrative situation with someone other than Baltimore, but fortunately for him, much like fortunately for me with Channel 3000, he found a landing spot and a good one. I mean, look, they've got a pretty good defense. I know they statistically were not very good against the pass last year, but now he's with a contender. He is with one of his best friends in the world who, when they came for joint practices last year, the two of them were so happy to see each other and talking about facing off in the Super Bowl.
Well, now they're on the same team, and they're going to come to Lambeau on December 27th. So, but if you asked Jair, I'm sure he would say the same thing I am, which is, hey, just tell me thank you for your service, but this isn't going to work. And they did not do that. And if there's a list of things that he could be irritated with, just like there's a list of things that they're irritated with him, they would be, A, the offer or proposal or whatever his dad called it, which was probably insulting to him, and the fact that they didn't just set him free right away after the season. Because I think that would have probably been beneficial. We'll talk more about this. I am curious. The question that I have is, for $4 million, that is not a lot. That is not a lot. That is, as Tausch would say, a popcorn money. And I have a question about the way contracts have been structured of late.
I think it might be that ring bologna. That new ring bologna, it's pretty expensive up there. We got to bump it up. It can't just be popcorn. That ring, ring bologna,
yes,
mac
the horse
and cheese
collar
that they make.
I saw Cousins has a fried bologna sandwich right now. It's like a special. Okay. And it's probably cheaper than the horse collar. And we know we love Cousins around here. Tausch, another place we love, and we had a great time on Wednesday, is Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Indeed, the new Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Spent a little time down there. Our show put a little something. We'll get back to, I think Jesse has the slips, and we will discuss those, whether we're idiots or geniuses. We'll find that out. But you're always going to be a genius if you head down there. Over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space. More than 1,300 slot machines. I think they were all full when we were down there. 50 live table games and that sports book and a rock shop. And if you're hungry, Jason went with, what did you get when we were down there?
I had the burger, the barbecue burger.
Okay.
Very
pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I had the rib. I will eat it. I got a ribeye on Wednesday, and it was fantastic.
Got
all
limo?
Kinds of options at the Hard Rock Cafe. Council Oak Steak, seafood, bricked Italian kitchen, and one of these times I'm going to try that UU noodle bar. I love noodle bars. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue, another 23,000 square feet of premium concert space, enough to fit Terry Bradshaw? Are you kidding me? Bradshaw's down there in a couple weeks. Can up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90, about 58 minutes from door-to-door for Old T.
We will get to the Jair conversation a little bit deeper here next. Here's my question that I want Tausch to ponder. Has the lack of roster bonuses written into contracts to be paid in March become an issue with some of their players if that structure is creating a problem? I will explain why I think that and see what Tausch thinks of it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Break my heart, don't break it.
So, Tausch, I know the game and the way players are paid has changed since your playing days. But we were talking about this as it relates to Elgton Jenkins a few weeks ago as well. Usually when you sign an extension, inserted within that extension would be a roster bonus around the start of the league year in March. A lot of times it was 3 days after the league year began. Sometimes it was a little bit longer after the league year began. But it was basically there as a blank or get off the pot type moment.
Exactly what I was thinking there, yep.
So if your guy is playing at a high, if you're playing at a high level, and there's no doubt whatsoever that the Green Bay Packers want to continue to have you on their team, they would either pay it as a roster bonus or convert it to a signing bonus and pay it the same amount so they could spread the money over multiple years in terms of the cap charge.
Yes. If they were like, I don't know, Jim, that might lead to a conversation of, all right, you're due this roster bonus. We think you've underperformed or you've missed time. And it would be a tool to negotiate a restructure. Hey, how about we guarantee half of it and we give you some incentives to try and earn back the other half. You still have your base salary for this year, but if it's an $8 million roster bonus, we guarantee four and we're all good. Mm-hmm. Or point three would be, we're not keeping you. We're donezo with you. We're not going to pay it. And you're going to become a free agent. And maybe we'll see if we can trade you before that, but we're moving in a different direction. That was not in place for Elgton Jenkins. So there was no decision to make in March. And now he has skipped all the offseason program, attended the minicamp but did not participate in it. And it is still an unresolved issue. Whereas after you say we think he can be an all-pro center, when you sign Aaron Banks, if there's a roster bonus there, it forces you to say, hey, you know, we're moving you to center. We're going to take care of you. We're going to pay that roster bonus. Or work something out. In Jair's case, there wasn't one of those. So he lingered on the roster until June 9th before they finally released him. Is this a problematic change in contract structure? Or do you think that it's not that big of a deal and I'm overestimating it? Because there are two examples of two players in two different spots with the team that might have benefited, or at least a decision would have been made on them all the way back in March.
I understand your question, and I think every contract is going to be – Green Bay looks at it like, we'll give you 2 years and then we want to control. That's how the Packers operate. They will pay you, and with the bonus and everything else, it's like, all right, you're going to be here 2 years. And in very few exceptions, there are some, Green Bay will control after those 2 years whether or not you're going to be there. That's how they structure it. And most of the players go along with it because they get their big chunk of money up front. This situation, Jair can be mad about it being dragged out. Jair could have controlled things not as early as he wanted, but all he had to do was show up. You know that's why they ended up cutting him, right? Is mm-hmm. because he would have showed up and Correct. Then that injury and you pay him 16. So I can't get that upset that there's no roster bonus. There was, in Elton's case, I'm sure a workout bonus that he gave up or he didn't earn. So it's different. You have to utilize whatever the scenario calls for. If a player feels like you don't have any guaranteed money and he knows that he's wanted, play that. If you're not wanted, like Jair obviously wasn't. Like, if we just want to be honest about it, the Packers didn't care. The organization is crystal clear about how they feel about you. And it ain't about what they say. It ain't about the words. It's about if they value you enough, they will figure it out. And if they don't, if there is an indifference, this was more of an indifference. And that's a hard thing to say. And I don't think they're being jerks about it. I think it's just this is the business of how the NFL goes. And when you're hurt and not as valuable to the organization, this stuff happens. Do you think this would ever happen to let's say it was Josh Jacobs or Xavier McKinney, someone that had monster years and you're counting on it a big way? The answer is no. It would get worked out. That's why Elgton Jenkins' scenario will get worked out. It's obviously his scenario is a little more complicated. But this concept of roster bonuses, that is put in there for both. Mm-hmm. It is put in there for the Packers to kind of make their decision so that they can start looking at, well, what are we going to do at this spot if we're not paying $500,000 or $1 million in roster bonus to X player. It is a way to speed up the process in helping plan your roster moving forward. But in most cases, the Green Bay Packers know probably in December, we're going to pay this or we're not. Unless there's a catastrophic Sure. injury, which of course the player takes that risk on.
All right, so then follow up and then we'll put a bow on it and move forward. You said Elgton Jenkins is a potential all-pro center. Why are we still sitting here on June 20th without it resolved then?
Because I believe the Packers want to see how a season goes, and I'm sure Elgton probably wants more of the contract guaranteed than what the Green Bay Packers are willing to do.
So how do you see that being resolved before the first practice on July
20th? I see it being resolved as the Packers pay a little bit more in guarantees and Elgton Jenkins gets a little guarantee for next year, but it would still not be enough that the Packers, if they felt would be better off moving on, wouldn't get crushed cap-wise. That's how I see it going.
Mm-hmm.
If whether or not that's going to be right or not, we'll find out. But Elgton Jenkins, he holds most of the times the organization has five cards and the players have one or two. Elgton Jenkins is dealing with a nice pocket pair. The Packers still have four or five other cards, so the odds are that they're in a better spot, but at least Elton's in the hand. He's not where you're just getting bludgeoned, and it's like, whatever the Packers will do is what I'm going to have to do. That's not where he's at. And at some point, I think the Packers realize, you know, Elton's a really good player. We need him this year to be what we want to be. We're going to work it out. And I would guess if it doesn't happen before the 4th of July, everybody heads out of town. They'll get it done. What day do they report to camp? 23rd?
22nd is the day that they would report.
Yeah, but the on-field stuff is the 23rd.
The 23rd
I would
is the
guess
first practice.
That you'll hear something either at that little owners meeting, stockholders meeting, mm-hmm. or it will get done similarly to how Jordan Love's did last year, which was a couple days after camp.
We will see if Tausch is
right. He ain't skipping camp.
No, he's not.
He's not going to just be handing cash back to the G&G. He will come in, and his toe might be sore, or he might have a jammed finger, or there'll be something where he'll be there, he'll be watching, but he ain't going to put a pad on until something gets done. That would be my guess.
Well, I can guarantee this. We will have a new couch from Steinhoffels before he has a new contract from the Green Bay Packers.
Is that right? Breaking news, Elgton Jenkins, we get a restart.
Well, he's got until Sunday. I believe delivery is on Sunday. You can get your best night's sleep on a
Tempur-Pedic. They're delivering a couch on a Sunday?
Yeah, they deliver on Sundays.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
Go to steinhoffels.com, find out more about when they can deliver your brand new furniture. And you can also have them deliver a brand new Tempur-Pedic mattress from Steinhoffels, and you'll get your best night's sleep. During the 4th of July mattress sale, save $500 on Tempur-Breeze. Plus, you'll get $300 in Steinhoffels cash. The Tempur-Breeze uses exclusive cooling technology, keeping you up to 10 degrees cooler night after night. And Queen Breeze mattresses start at just $86 per month when you use Steinhoffels' special 60-month financing. So shop Steinhoffels in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. One quick follow-up to the Jair question comes next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate. Baby, I just don't want to wait. Tonight's the weekend. I don't want to wait.
All right, last thing on Jair. I got a phone call after I was done with my segment on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy from Craig Karmazin.
Oh, wow.
Founder, CEO, Good Karma Brands.
You get a little nervy? Are you a little nervy that old Carmy was calling you?
No. Have there been times when his name has come up and I was nervous? Sure. Not this time. I knew he was next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and he had been listening, and we talked about Jair, and I didn't get to hear his segment because then I had to walk the dogs and get Sid ready for basketball and everything else. So, but he kind of gave me a preview, and it was basically, you know, as someone who leads a company that has been very successful and thinks about how you put together a team and there's no denying that Jair Alexander, when healthy, is talented and good for your team. But given maybe some of the feelings, you know, you said it, that Goody was done with him. I think you're probably right. If you put Craig in that Goody spot, my question for you is there value in keeping someone even though you don't maybe like certain aspects of who they are or their availability? Because he's good, and ultimately the bottom line is you need to win, and sometimes you have to have people on your team that aren't who you would like them to be, but they still help you win. So my question is, would the Packers be better off, even with his warts, having him on their roster or not? Simple yes or no. And I'm a yes still, because I think their culture can absorb someone like him, and they would benefit from having him on the team.
Here's the deal. It's not a simple yes or no. And for you, someone that is always on the skirts of, you're always trying to find the gray area in everything.
I am.
Nuance. But then you try to act like this is a yes or no. It's not.
I just wanted to make it a yes or no, and I wanted to actually say yes or no, and I did, and now you're the one who's going to be nuanced.
It's ironic that you say that because it's not as simple as that. If you're, and I'm not going to put Jair in the malcontent category because I don't think he was. Now, his captaincy thing is crazy.
Like, that was just not great, Bob.
That whole thing is nuts. Mm-hmm. And the fact, if he was Deion Sanders and he was doing all this and then he had a bad, you know, he was injured or whatever, but you knew if you lined him up.
I don't know.
Then it's worth the squeeze. It can't be like there is no if Craig Karmazin is telling you, boy, this guy is a huge pain in the you know what, but man, does he drive revenue. I bet Craig Karmazin can say we can live with
that. His name is Mark Tauscher.
He could say
he's a complicated
that will work. We can make that work. And I remember when Charles Woodson first got to Green Bay, and he had not proven himself to be the depoy like he was in 09. There were some issues. I'm sure guys were like, what the blank did we do with this? But it's sometimes you have to just kind of hold your nose and say, but look at what he does when he's on the field. Look at what he does when that's mm-hmm. – and Jair was no longer at that point. So it ends up being an easier decision for the people in charge because they see what happens on a daily basis.
Sure.
And you say, well, you can over – what did you say? Overcome that culture-wise or you can – whatever word you just used, I don't remember. You don't do that unless it is super – great to your bottom line, and maybe you could say, well, maybe it would be, but it's been 4 years, man. Like, it's been 4 years that you've seen this, and it hasn't been. So that's why I think it was a much easier decision for Goody to just say, now let's go with our young guys, let's build this up. And it's not as if we're getting Deion Sanders 1993 to 96 where we know this thing's Lock City. That's not where we were at, and that's why this decision was made the way it was.
All right, one quick follow-up. So my question for you then, if we're going to continue to use Good Karma Brands as our analogy, I don't know what department you want to put Jair in. Is he a marketing consultant? Is he an on-air host? Whatever he might be. If you have no real proven commodities, because look, Keyshawn Nixon hasn't proven that he's a number one level corner. Carrington Valentine has not proven that he is a every week starter in the NFL, right? He started 22 games his first 2 years. He's a seventh round pick. We always talk about this. Seventh rounders constantly have to prove themselves. He's still got more to prove. And Nate Hobbs has been a part-time player. He's been a slot corner. So
physical.
All three, yes, I know. I've heard that from me. So you've got three guys that are relatively in their roles unproven. Fair?
Yes.
So does that factor in at all if you have Super Bowl hopes to say, okay, again, we have to absorb of the drawbacks here because of what we have at that spot. Hey, we got these great hosts from 9 to noon. So if we had another guy who was a little bit questionable in terms of culture,
that was going to be a host and worked in that window, we'd be like, okay, well, Tausch and Wilde are okay. We're good with them. They've proven over 9 years that they don't suck. But in the case of the Packers at corner, I'm not sure that there's ample evidence to say, no, we don't need a guy who we don't love for our culture, because the guys we have replacing him, we don't know how good they are.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's not as if Jair is going to be a revenue generator for this team. They don't think that he is there. If they thought he was a shutdown number one stud corner, they would have gladly paid $4 million and brought him back. That's not where they're at. It is the, and you can disagree with it, and I'm sure if Amon St. Brown makes a couple of big plays in that opener and Detroit beats us, I can assure you that postgame show is going to be, and Jair has a pick for Baltimore. Oh, God. Like, it will be Kevin King, TJ Watt all over again. Mm-hmm. But the Packers looked at this, they evaluated it, and we're not talking about them viewing Jair in that way anymore. Because if they did, they would make some accommodations to figure it out. They didn't. We'll see if they're right. Because I can't argue with your initial point of it's not as if the cupboard is stocked. The cupboard ain't stocked. But they feel, and this is going to be harsh, they feel as if Jair's expired. So do you want to risk it? Not with milk, but like with a can of beans. And you have it up in the cupboard and it's way in the back and you go grab it and you're like, been expired a year or two. Man, we could probably still put it in our fajitas. I don't know if it'll be good. We got this fresh stuff. It's not the same brand that the Jair's is, but I know it's fresh and I know it's going to at least get us through and get us. This was a great brand, but we're 2 years past when we should have sold it. Is it worth that risk? And the answer is, at least according to Brian J. Gutekunst, the answer is no.
Well, we raise a Coors Light and say, fare thee well, Jair Alexander. And if you're still healthy in week 17 and you come to Lambeau Field and have a pick six on Jordan Love, woo, will that postgame show be an interesting one?
Well, we'll have a Coors Light with it, so it'll be all fine. Whether you're tailgating pregame or breaking down a Packer game postgame, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. And this weekend, gonna be warm. Gonna be real warm. And you know what you have to have when it's real warm? Gotta have those mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and or can. It's gotta be blue. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection, which besides the refreshing taste is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You would have thought that Brian Bulaga was here, given how late we are to the 10 o'clock hour, but it was a good conversation about Riley's dating plans early and Jair Alexander's situation late. You look like you're itching to say something. You're tapping your pencil. You got somewhere you want to start the 10 o'clock hour, or that was just idle tapping?
It was idle tapping, but I just keep coming back to it's only $4 million, and the fact that Green Bay wasn't willing to really do anything, according to Landis, tells you everything you need to know. That this story, while there are some twists and turns, this was not Natasha Bedingfielded. This story was written back in February. We just didn't believe that was the story.
You're not wrong. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.